Greetings, Mark Thompson here, formerly of Mark and Brian. You're listening to the M25 show, which kind of sucks. Mine are good. Mark and Linda, daddy versus daughters. But since you're listening anyway, here it is, the M25 show.
Good morning. Welcome to the M25 show. What's up, Eddie?
My name is Eddie.
There's no need to tell everybody who we are. Everybody should know, right? Everybody around the world?
You would hope.
Well, just in case, Eddie's here and myself, Steve. Mm-hmm. And we're doing a special show today, right, Eddie?
A special tribute. No, it's not a tribute show. It's
a tribute.
Special show.
Yeah, special show. I got a song here that our guest is that's coming on actually did with a collaboration. We're having Michael Chambers on here in a minute. He was on the movie Breaking and Breaking 2 back in the 80s. And it's nice enough to come on our show. He's got a book to promote. And he actually sings too, Eddie.
Is he really?
Yeah, this is him. And he did the song from the original song from the movie Breaking. They did a remake kind of, but he's singing it. He's doing a lot of stuff, Eddie.
And many talents.
He's a dance teacher, artist, comedian. Says he's a comedian too.
Really?
Yeah.
There
he is right there. What do you think, Eddie?
Pretty good.
Alright.
No stop.
All right, he should be on here in a minute. We're doing a special show today. It's not a tribute show, Eddie, because, you know, everybody's alive and good. And I wish Alyssa and Alberto could be here, but they're on special mission, Eddie.
Paying tribute to the old school dance.
Do you think Alberto used to break dance in his day?
I doubt it.
Spin on his knee and his head and all that good stuff.
I've been dropped on his head, but...
Oh, man, wears ball cap backwards. What do you think?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Let me see here. Yes, Michael Chambers will be on in just a few moments.
You never know.
That might have been his thing.
Mm-hmm. Might have been in the movie. I don't know.
What was he doing in the movie? Picking up trash after the scene?
Extra.
Oh, boy.
He was an extra in the movie cheering on Michael Chambers.
I think... I don't know. He had to be pretty small back then. Alberto, yeah? He's the youngest of this show, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So, 84. How old do you think he was in 84?
84.
Guess. Just a guess.
10?
10 years old.
No, not... I wasn't even born yet.
84. Because we figured out our ages before, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And we know he's the youngest. So, let me see.
Yeah, he might have been just
He might have been like 2 or 3 or something.
2 or 3.
Because, you know, I'm thinking, how old was I in 84? I was probably 45. I was an eighth grader. Whatever. How old are eighth graders? 15? 14?
No.
14?
Like 12, 13? 12, 13.
Okay, let's say 12, 13. And how much younger is he than us?
Like 10 years.
10 years?
It's like 40-something, right? 40...
I don't know.
44, I think we said?
Okay, well, if he's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9... Okay, but 6, so... Yeah, he was just a little guy.
Yeah, he was just a little guy.
Yeah, well, maybe he was... maybe parents were rolling him around on the ground and all that, helping him out. Okay, well, we're having a special show today, and our guest has just came in the waiting room, so we're going to pull him out now, Eddie.
All right.
Michael Chambers... I'm very excited to have him on. Huge fan of this man. And to have him on our show is an honor. He's got a book he wants to promote, and we're going to do that full force today, Eddie, okay?
Okay,
we're going to bring out Michael Chambers. Hello, Michael.
Hello, gentlemen.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm trying to adjust the lighting. Can you see me?
Yes, we can see you.
Right on. Yeah, there's this thing. Sometimes my friends would tell me, you know, I thought I saw an eclipse, so I need light. I wrote it myself. It's just the way it is. How you doing, Mr. Wimpro? How you doing, Eddie?
Good. How are you?
Doing good.
Good. Thank you and the staff of M25 Show. Let's get this started.
Yeah, we were just talking before you came on about all the stuff you did, and we were saying you're also a comedian, and you just showed that a few seconds ago.
Well, it'll make it very short. If you really look at the movie Breaking, the Israeli film company, Cannon Films, Menachem Golan, Yoram Globus, they wanted to make the movie go big, right? So when they saw Flashdance, they said, okay, we're going to go and make a movie with the real dancers, not actors. So instead of Spike Lee or a black production, I have to give respect to my Israeli brothers and sisters in entertainment who took a chance to give somebody that had talent a break, you know, and it's just the way that it is. I mean, at the end of the day, this equality thing for me, it really resonates, because I would not be in this interview if it wasn't for that Israeli film company, Menachem Golan and Cannon Films. So with that being said, I'm hoping that the new generation opens their mind and start working with their brothers and sisters of different races, because at the end of the day, we all matter, right?
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah, it's very true. So yeah, you know, at that time, if you look at the movie, it was not scripted. So they realized very quickly, wow, we have talented dancers, and they're not Stanislavski or they don't have the Meisner technique of acting. So we need to figure out how we're going to do scenes, right? Okay. So what happened was, a couple of people said the best way we can get these guys to look real is to put them in the situation and write the lines right there, you know, on spec. And so we were put in situations kind of like Carol Burnett. They put us in the situations and they let us improv it. And then the writers were very creative, because we were moving so fast as the production was, the cameras were rolling and they were trying to reach their dead end so that they didn't go over budget, right? The thing is, they were like, okay, you know what? These guys are pretty on it. They put us in a situation, gave us dialogue. Whatever worked, they kept it. Whatever didn't work, they said, okay, let's just go to the dancing. So if you look at Breaking, back to the comedy, all my comedy was improv. Every single comic line or reply that Turbo did was improv. The producers and the director, Menachem, they're going, this little guy is very funny. He's good. Let him go. He's like a schmuck, a schmulik. Let him go. The dancing schmuck. So the thing is, back then, you know what? That's what agents did. Hey, get him out of here. He's your 15 minutes. Get him. He's a schmuck. You never make it in Hollywood. It's all theater. No. I mean, that's 80s agents and managers. Get him out of here. He's a schmulik. And that's my, you'll never make it on Broadway. One single hesitation, hey, get him out of here. No, down the door. So my comedy was there, and it just got
improv. That was all improv.
But look at where I'm going. Most improv, like the improv, Pauly Shore, all the greats. If you're a comedian and you improv it, you get better at it. You're pretty good, right?
Oh yeah.
So look at how long I've been improvising. I became a comedian. Now that they put me in Al Pacino, just when I wanted to get out, they bring me back in.
Exactly. See, improv, it isn't easy. It isn't easy at all.
No, it is what it is. But I mean, that's where the comedy comes from. And I thank Hollywood and Tinseltown and all the greats for grooming me as a comedian, because even after Breaking, I got better. I mean, I was on the Dom DeLuise show, and Dom DeLuise, you know, when he, bless his legacy, when he passed away, Greg Garrison, the producer of the show, somehow or another didn't do something with the rights of the show. So Peter DeLuise or Dom DeLuise's children, they're not releasing that series. But if they release that series, that's since 1987. Talk about comedy. Come on now. I got a lot better with Charlie Kelly. Same as it ever was. You know, all these, I mean, Dom DeLuise, come on. It's a comedian. It's all Tinseltown. It's all theater. Every single episode, they had some comedian great or some actor, from Burt Reynolds to Dean Martin, everybody loves somebody. I mean, come on now. So, I mean, I did the Jerry Lewis Tilton. Come on, he's the ultimate comedian.
Oh, wow.
So, obviously, I ran in comedic circles, even with George Lopez. I mean, I've always been drawn to comedians and great comedians at that. So, obviously, you know, you're guilty by association. So, I'm hoping one of these days after the Screen Actors Guild strike is over, I'll be able to get a comedy job. Maybe it'll be me and Jim Carrey. All righty then. Turbo's back. Yes. But he's still black. He totally is. He's not from Wakanda. He drives a Honda. All righty then. Bumblebee Tuna. That's stupid, right?
Eddie, I was going to ask you, we're going to promote your book here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? Let's pull that up. Let's do that now. You got a book out right now that people can order that you'll actually sign?
I was actually forced to do this because while people were getting arrested, police were like, hey, I booked myself. Okay. They're like, I like this guy. He already knows the procedure. Hands in the air, officer. I booked myself. No, but look.
Hey, this guy knows how to sell a book, doesn't he, Eddie?
Hey! No. So look, on a serious note, you know, most people do not know. I know. Still a schmuck, a better schmulik, right? Schmucker's peanut butter. I could do a peanut butter commercial. Are you hungry? Are you a schmuck? Then eat it. Just eat it. Schmucker's peanuts. Here's your time. Pot up, bean. Get out of here, schmuck. So look.
He does commercials too.
Yeah, you gotta do it. It's all theater. So look. While everybody was reinventing themselves, I found myself during COVID in my artistic bubble, like somebody that I taught, Mr. Jackson. I mean, he was always, no. Michael was always off the streets, not in the clubs, not making it rain. He was always working on his craft. So obviously, I learned from somebody very great. What goes on behind closed doors shows up big on stage. And so all my free time, I was always, you know, working on something as an artist. And something clicked. I was like, wow, you know what? Everybody's talking about the broom. Everybody's talking about breakdancing in the Olympics. I was like, it's that little music from Alex Trebek Jeopardy. I was like, wow, you know what? Maybe I should revamp and repackage myself. So this little Boogaloo Shrimp Clean Sweep,
yes,
by Hudson Publishing, Arthur Chris Dudley. The thing is, this was kind of like going back to the beginning of what Boogaloo Shrimp's life was. And I mirrored just inner city kids who have a problem with cleaning their room. If you go into this book, Boogaloo Shrimp goes on a journey and he's trying to get motivated to clean his room. And the way that he has a clean sweep, he may not have a lot, but he has a lot of character, and his dignity is in cleanliness. If you notice, he has a boom box and a broom, so he cleans up to make his mother and his father happy. And also, he did such a good job, it does a tribute to the Olympics in Paris. If you look at this page right there, see it? Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah.
Bonjour, c'est toi. The Olympics is definitely in Paris, and so I wanted to capture that. You see the Eiffel Tower? Let's see. I'm going to try to do this. See that?
Yes. See it? Yes.
If you really look close, in there, there's a tribute to the late Shabadoo. He's right there in the window. He's going, hey, Mike, can you come out to play? And I said, I got to clean my room because Dad and Mom want me to clean. So once again, my book wasn't just a book, but I tried to be theoretically correct by letting people know my other credits. As you guys looked me up, I made it easy. We put other credits. There's me breakdancing. Some people forget that back then, we're right there. See that picture?
Yes. Yes, I see you.
Some people forget this. What makes me, myself, the late Shabadoo and the California street dancers different than New York this was Hollywood Tinseltown. All the studios were here. It wasn't Broadway, so it was a different machine. Mm-hmm. We had to be a triple threat, like the Nicholas Brothers and Sammy Davis. They had to sing, dance. I mean, you had Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly. Back then, old MGM and artists, you had to mark the ground. You had to sing, dance, and act. So the thing is, we never lost that. So we were kind of following the tradition of the Hollywood Tinseltown muscle as a dancer, choreographer, actor, whatever. I mean, an audition is it, right? If you're a triple threat, you're getting a job. So for me, myself and a handful of Screen Actors Guild veterans, we all decided, okay, we're going to add to our talent that we mastered and expound. Instead of just doing one dance, I found myself doing point in a ballet studio with Tony Basil. Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. Just because I wanted to strengthen my toes and my feet and understand that style of dance. And it's interesting because in the movie Breaking, if somebody goes back, we filmed at the late Debbie Reynolds studio. Debbie Reynolds is Hollywood royalty of that dance kind of genre, right? Big musicals. Okay. So the thing is, when I came from the streets to a ballet, jazz, very, very A-list dance studio, I became an intern of whatever was going on. So while everybody was chasing extras or at the craft service, I was watching the ballet dancers' feet. And sure enough, it shows in the movie Breaking because everybody was talking about, look at Turbo, he's on his toes. I mean, literally, there's a poster where I'm on my toes. Mm-hmm. And you could see me working my craft. I mastered my style of animation and robotics. But like Michael Jackson added Dancing the Robot, Bob Fosse, Gene Kelly. He put everything together and made up his own style. So while I was teaching him, I was teaching myself to think out of the box, not just breakdance, not just b-boy, but learn as many dance styles that I personally liked. Because usually when it comes to art, if you love your art, you're going to be the best at it, right? So I was always fascinated with how the gliding could be more smooth. So if you see me and Michael's orbiting and are floating and the gliding, it's kind of really close to the grace of a ballerina. You know, well, we tried to get that close to it. So obviously we're in a different category, but you see where I'm going with this? I was studying dance in real time while I was on a production. It never stopped because now I was, after the production finished, I went back to my artistic bubble. And if you really look at my style, when it came to family matters, Steve Urkel, do you know how to do that, Laura? now, when people see the robot, the robotic family matters, this thing, wait, where is it? Where you are here.
Steve.
I'd be so lonely. I could die. Warner Brothers presents Family Matters.
Hey, big guy. Donnie.
No, but the thing is, when Warner Brothers decided to take a chance on a Terminator version of a robotic version of Steve Urkel, and I say that because Terminator 2, Arnold, the big movie, part 2, when he goes. Universal Studios, he goes. The thing is, on a big screen, Arnold was doing Terminator 2. And then the other studios were like, wow, man, this is a box office hit. So Warner Brothers said, okay, look, we got to do an episode with Steve Urkel. Steve Urkel's a scientist. We need a Steve Urkel robot, robo nerd. So when I came to the audition, they pretty much told me this is exactly what we wanted to do, to actually get the Nielsen ratings, because it was never done on Family Matters. So they wanted a robot version of Steve Urkel. And it worked. I mean, the ratings went up the roof. It went up the roof. And at that time in my life, my brothers, that's when Turbo became the man. Because usually, even in martial arts, you're a student, you're a brown belt, you're this belt, but then you become a grandmaster. The thing is, for me, I became a grandmaster of my own art. Michael Jackson and I, we grinded in 84 and 85, and then he went to orbit doing what he does the best. But I went on to do other things, and I mastered by 87 and found, I mean, by 1991, when I did Family Matters, I literally had mastered my own style that was totally different in New York, totally different in Soul Train. I mean, I literally made my mark with doing the robot, because being in a costume, it was my own theatrical thing without CGI or a mocap. They just put me in a suit. And so when you see that episode and you see it over and over again, you could see how much time in those years from 84 and the 90s, how much time I spent on perfecting every single detail to become kind of like a Robro, like a little kind of like Clash of the Titans, kind of, you know, some sort of, you know, hyper boogeyman. So, yeah, I had to share that with you because I was always studying, and like this book, while everybody was doing their thing with COVID, I didn't rely on a manager or somebody to do something for me. I was like, okay, these days I'm going to try to do something for myself, because at the end of the day, the responsibility falls on me, right?
Yes.
But it wasn't selfish, because I realized in this book, we lost the pioneer, Adolfo Quiñones.
Yes.
Remember it was us?
Yes.
He passed away. We lost Electro Rock, Bruno Falcon. I put him as a tribute. I did my own tribute to him. See him right there?
Yes.
Right here? That's Bruno.
Pop and Taco, yes.
Pop and Taco, we lost him. And for the record, if you look, that's Poppy Pete from the Electric Boogaloos. Poppy Pete's right there.
Poppy Pete.
See, here's Poppy Pete.
Yes.
And this is a loose tribute to the Jabberwockies. See this guy over here?
Mm-hmm.
We got permission from their managers to kind of do like a little loose. See the Jabberwocky? And then here's the thing for France. When you look at the Eiffel Tower, where are we at?
That also takes talent to hold a book and get it right.
Well, I know,
on camera.
It's all theater. Okay, so you ready? It's here. So let me go here and then there. Right there.
Okay.
That's Marcel. Marcel. See him?
Yes.
See him with the top hat?
Yes.
You see the Eiffel Tower?
Yes.
Now, that was very important, being that the Olympics is going to start next year, 2024, in Paris. Voulez-vous que je sois toi? Bonjour. Merci. People forget the art of popping didn't just start on some street corner, some cardboard. It started in France. If you look at Marcel and mimes,
yes,
the miming and all that storytelling was lyrical, because Marcel was telling stories with his hands, right? Somewhere along the line, when people were doing productions and you see street performers with the white gloves, if you go back to the 70s, poppers, people that were popping used white gloves. They still do it sometimes, but my point was this. As an educator, I started going back to our roots, because that's where the art of that's where art gets its respect. When people realize, okay, this has validity, it's not a fad, then you're in some sort of hall of fame, or you get some sort of star or some sort of trinket, or maybe, you know, something that validates all your hard work of your life, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, I realized very quickly once Adolfo and Papi Taco passed away, I had to step it up and be an ambassador, a historian, you know, I mean, in all aspects. So, you know, I pretty much have been an educator for quite some time. And matter of fact, I got validated a Lifetime Achievement Award by McDonald's. See McDonald's?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Look at that.
McDonald's. I'm loving it. They're like, eat it. Do fries. I'm like, excuse me. What? Do fries go with that shake? Well, yeah, put the music on. Shake the thing. I guess it does. I'm loving it. No, but.
Oh my goodness.
See that? That's cool. McDonald's Tri-State, New York. So McDonald's gave me a Lifetime Achievement Award once they realized that I wasn't a schmulek, that I wasn't selfish. Once they realized that my dance and what I was about was putting it out there but actually helping other people than myself, then it became very clear that whether it's the book or showing up or whatever, I mean, me being an educator and helping edify other people and, you know, like a cause. I mean, you know, the street dancers and the whole hip hop thing, we weren't the 90s. I mean, not putting the 90s down, but every genre has their theme, you know. Yeah. Even rock and roll, you got alternative, you got metal, you got goth, and the list goes on, right? Well, with hip hop, we were kind of like the new wave geek. I was kind of like this guy, a Negro version of Napoleon Dynamite. Gosh.
Okay.
You know, he's like, no. If you really think about him, he was like a dweeb, a dwerp. But yeah. Guess what? You know, they rise. It's like, I always love this movie because Turbo, look at, he's a black guy with a jerry curl from Coming to America, a bandana from Karate Kid, dancing on Venice Beach with surfers like a wannabe Tony Hawk.
I guess when you think about it, that is kind of funny.
Dude, that's like totally, come on. And then in LA, South Central, come on now. They're like, that is this screaming dork, dweeb, you know, reject, right? But the thing is, the good thing about that, being outside of the box, it was like I fell into this category of hip hop, and I always go back to Woodstock, because Woodstock had Jerry Garcia, you had Joni Mitchell, you had everybody who was everybody that went up there and became great, right? But they were all different. So in hip hop, you had, you know, Young MC, you had the Fat Boys, you had Curtis Blow, the Beastie Boys, you know, Antigalactic, you know. Yes. I mean, everybody had a place in hip hop. So with the dance, we had a place. Turbo was like a new wave kind of robotic kind of guy who could hang with the surfers or the yuppies or the preppies. And I'm glad, because here we are now entering the Olympics. Breakdancing being in Olympics is like a victory, right?
That's crazy.
It's a victory for the 80s people who love breakdancing, who had that one prom dance where you're trying to do the wave. It's very true. Somebody was guilty, right?
Yep. Everybody.
Somebody was guilty of that. It's like, it's all nostalgia, you know? So, yeah, you know, before I forget, I have to thank you for following up, because for the fans, Steve, Mr. Renfro, tried to get me to do this interview, but our schedules, the things didn't happen, but I'm very, very thankful to be on the it's the M225 show.
Look, Michael is still a comedian. Yes, the M25 show.
I wanted to make sure, because it's all about theater. You're like, what show are you on? Say it.
No, before I know Eddie has a question for you, but I do want to tell you that it means a lot for you to be on here. I remember watching your movie over and over and just thought, these you guys dance so good, and I was just taken. It was awesome for me. So to have you on our show today means something to me, and I'm sure Eddie and everybody watching. And wanted to thank you. And it didn't work out last time, but you know what they say: you keep trying.
What does it say? You know, you're always late, but worth the wait.
Yeah, yep.
There you go. I'm saying that respectfully, because as the world turns, it sounds like a days of a Erica Payne, you know, Susan Lou, she's like, it's all theater. But the always late but worth the wait. As the world turns with all the stuff that's going on, this is kind of like, we're like the Goonies. This is where we are down here. This is where we rule at the M25 show. This is where we rule. And then you got to do the chunk dance. Hey, you guys! Hey, Goonies. No, but this is our world. This is our utopia. It's almost like our little escape from the muck and mire that brings people down. We just went through a nostalgic timeline of 80s and music. So, you know, I think it'll be a breath of fresh air for your audience, you know, to hear this dialogue, because come on now. It's not like
a lot of people are going to go back and watch Breaking now after the stuff that you said, and they're going to go back and look and try to find the things that you were saying, which is a good thing.
Well, you know what? After years, I think a lot of people, when you go to either Turner Classic Movies, or you go back to the Warriors, or you go back to some movie that you love, and you find a hidden gem, it's like, wow, man, I've been waiting all these years and I just got enlightened. Here's the biggest thing about the movie Breaking. You ready?
All right.
This is going to blow everybody's mind. You ready?
Let me blow so you
in
up
Breaking in Breaking 2, when they decided to do part 2, the yes. best thing about that movie, a lot of people don't know how part 2 has a connection with Rocky IV. Remember Rocky? Hey, Sylvester Stallone. The guy from Philadelphia, he had the dog Buckus and Adrian Nobel. There's a scene in the movie Breaking 2 where Ozone and Turbo go to meet Kelly's family in a mansion in Hancock Park. Well, survey says that's the same mansion that Sylvester Stallone used after Apollo passed away from Ivan Drago's beating, and it was in the music video, "There's No Easy Way Out." It's very true. If you look at the mansion where Kelly invited us to her father's house, that mansion where I feed the cats and Ozone and Turbo go to the mansion.
Yes.
In Rocky with Ivan Drago, Rocky IV, the mansion where Paulie has the robot and everybody's styling, he's got all the toys and he's got to go fight the Russian because he's on hard times. The thing is, look at that mansion. It's the same mansion. That freaking blew me and a lot of people away because I've always loved the movie, you know, Rocky and Rocky 2 and of course Rocky 3. They said Clubber. He said, "What? What do you predict for this fight?" He's all, "Pain." Clubber Lang and Hulk Hogan.
Did you know it was the Rocky house?
No, that's why it blew everybody away. I don't really think that they want... I mean, come on now. The Rocky franchise was bigger than life. It was so big, he had Planet Hollywood with Demi Moore and Bruce Willis and Arnold and all these people. So, of course, those were box office people. I don't think at the time anybody wanted them associated with a breakdance movie because that was like low class, right? But look at how many years it took for that to come out. But that's big, right?
Yes, that is very big. Eddie, what do you think about this? I just found this out today.
What's even better, when they were doing Hollywood locations, that mansion was owned by the great Mary Pickford. That was Mary Pickford's mansion, Hollywood royalty. Mary Pickford, when she made it, she bought that mansion. That's huge, right?
Yeah.
So we were dancing on Hollywood, you know, sacred ground, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's like a royalty right there.
No, it's well, I wish I would have had the check. I would have been pretty rich.
Eddie, you got a question for Mr. Chambers over here?
Yes, I'm curious to know how was Michael receptive to you teaching him how to move?
Michael Jackson.
Hold on, just a second. Uh-oh. I'm gonna get him.
He's gonna go get him.
He's gonna get him. Eddie, what the? I thought he was gonna jump on the table and moonwalk.
You know, I got
Michael okay. Jackson.
You're like, wait a minute, ready?
I'm gonna blow this up so we can see what he's doing.
Okay,
here.
You ready? So, Michael, say hello to the M225 show. Hi. Oh. Hello.
I told you.
Oh, I see. Hi.
Oh, well, Eddie, you were right. He did go get him.
Eddie, okay. Michael, what? Hello. Hi. Hey, he's like, hey. He's all, can I get a what? What? Can I get a what? What?
Was he a quick learner?
You know what? He was very interesting because here we go. You ready? I'm going to send myself back in time. So like,
let's do it.
When I got with Michael, I did a Channel 7, Paul Moyer did a segment on things that were happening in LA on the streets of Los Angeles. There's a new dance craze coming out. And so Paul Moyer saw the kids dancing on Hollywood Boulevard. And I was one of those kids, you know, dancing against people on Hollywood Boulevard. And then Hollywood Boulevard, right where the Kodak Theater and where they do the Oscars, that was like a way station of every subsidiary county. You had L.A. County, you had San Fernando, and then you had the Valley. Total Valley dudes, man, just coming in to just see what the lights are about, man. They're like, dude, man, how are you going to get some metal spikes if you didn't go to Flip of Hollywood or Whiskey Go-Go, man? Or like, yeah, man. They're like, yeah, dude, I'm going to hop on Mulholland and just go over and see what's happening, dude. So, all those guys from the Valley, Tom Petty, it's a free world living in Reseda. No, those guys came over from their side, and then the homies from East LA, like, ugh, somebody's pop locking over there. Let's see him, call Chewy. You know, so we had surfer dudes from like the Valley, like Bill and Ted's, like, whoa, this is most awesome. Like, wow. You had the Valley people, you had the essays, like, oh, LA, man. And then, you know, then you had the homies, this is the way we roll. What? You know, we have Felicia. What y'all finna do? Y'all gonna pop like your breakdance. I wanna see it. So yeah, all these people on Hollywood Boulevard. I'm like, wow, this is a Beatles song. All the lonely people. Where did it come from? I was like, Paul McCartney wrote something about this, didn't he? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. What's it like? So I was like, dang, this is a smorgasbord of schmoolix.
So everything.
Everybody. It was even an Albanian dwarf. Oh. He's like, I got you. He's all, can I get a what? He's all, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. We're like, dang. And he didn't see him anymore because he had a passport and he went back.
Oh, man.
LAX, he's like, bye. You guys got served. So the thing is, you know, we're on Hollywood Boulevard, and out of all those people, somebody said, hey, you know what? Michael Jackson, you need to see this guy. And sure enough, when they rewinded that segment for Michael Jackson and his family, the thing is, somebody in Michael's camp reached out to me, and I think it was a grip or a gaffer on that Channel 7 news. They were like, get this dude, man, because we were just underground. I was green. I had no agent. I was on the streets. You know, it was just prime for somebody that was already a millionaire and a worldwide performer to learn something to become his own. So with that being said, you said Michael Jackson. We're like, okay, well, we got everybody, and everybody who didn't live in or under a rock knew who he was. They said, Mr. Jackson wants you to come to his house. We're like, for what? He's like, well, for him to see what you guys have to offer as far as dance. We're like, okay, must be pretty good, because we don't have jobs in TV or film. But if Michael Jackson's asking us to dance for him, then we must be pretty good. So he pretty much validated us.
Yeah.
We're like, wait a minute, we're getting ready. Mr. Jackson wants to see us. I mean, we kind of had like street cred, like, excuse me, the Jacksons want to see us. So a lot of the dancers at the time were like, whoa, the Jacksons want to see them. And them was me and Popping Taco, Bruno Falcon.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Him and I had two different styles, but evidently in that Channel 7 segment, the Jacksons saw something in me and Bruno. So we found ourselves there in Encino, California, off of Havenhurst at the mansion. Michael was still living with his mom, so were the brothers, and they were getting ready for the Victory Tour. So while the brothers were being, I mean, they were all famous, Michael was the star, but everybody at that time knew the Jacksons were a famous group. When he branched out solo, he wanted to let everybody know, I'm the star. But at the time, Joe Jackson was like, no, You're the lead singer, and this is our group, which was the franchise. Mm-hmm. But Michael was like, I want to go solo. So by the time, well, of course he did. You know how he's like, Joe, look at me. I want to go solo. So he's all, look at me. So, What did I say? And he's like, I love you. But yeah. So while we're dancing, he pulls me to the side and says, I want to rehearse with you. I go, okay. So he goes, my secretary will call you. Sure enough. Just before the Victory Tour, I found myself with the man. I mean, him and I were in our own, we were at Hollywood Center Studios in Santa Monica. The thing is, I mean, well, Santa Monica Boulevard. Hollywood Center Studios is off of Santa Monica Boulevard. So the thing is, that's for all those people who Google and do the map quest and all. Oh, yeah, it was correct. So the thing is, we're in a studio and we're practicing. And that's when I realized, wow, this guy is meticulous, because he had me going over and over and over the same step. Yeah, please just do it again. I'm like, I was getting bored. He goes, just could you? And you know what? Here's the thing for the fans. If you ever see the video, jam, it ain't too much. When you see that video with him and Michael Jordan,
yes,
that was actually kind of like our sessions, because Michael learned that video thing with him and Michael Jordan from our sessions. The thing is, he didn't look that awkward like Michael Jordan, because Michael Jordan's a basketball player. Mm-hmm. But if you see Michael when he's going around and teaching Michael Jordan how to dance,
yes,
he kind of mirrored our sessions, because he didn't really have to do much, but he was looking around from that angle, like the video. And Michael had a camera. I mean, he had a director's eye, so he knew to get the whole angle, you know, front, backside, all the, remember early sitcoms, they had three cameras. I Love Lucy, a lot of the TV shows, the Honeymooners, they had the three camera setup, right? So that they can get all different angles. So Michael was like, okay, you know what? I got to see this step from the front, from the side, and from the back. And so he was going around, just do it again. But I realized he was looking like a camera, and he was getting different angles of how my feet were moving so that he could master it. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, it's amazing, because eventually, and this has been a thorn in my side for years, people have been giving the credit to Jeffrey Daniels, Shalimar, Jeffrey Daniels. And I mean, I wish I had a violin and do it over, because it became a sad story, because obviously, even in martial arts, if you were taught by Jet Li and Bruce Lee, you don't even have to give them credit. They would see it in the student style. So yeah. I taught him certain techniques, and it showed in his performance. Duh. So the thing is, Jeffrey Daniels was not a master popper or an animator or a robot guy. He was a singer who learned a dance, but then he went back to choreographing jazz and other things. So obviously somebody got the facts twisted in translation. But the best thing that happened, real dance aficionados, choreographers, and professional masters of the dance, they came to my aid and support, going, wait a minute, this literally is the guy that Michael learned certain animated techniques from, and his popping and this and that, as opposed to just one or two moves, right? So I thank Arsenio Hall and everybody, Paula Abdul, everybody who stepped it up to vouch for me to get my name out there, because if people didn't speak up, I would have been lost in translation. And it really wasn't, the credit with Michael wasn't like a freaking lottery ticket, like a lot of these people who don't know what hard labor is. They want to get something for free and cash in and live the life of the Kardashians or Jersey Shore. The thing is, life is not that easy. You got to work before you grind, right? So for me, all those years of paying dues, talk about a star or a badge of honor. To have my first student be the king of pop, that's mm-hmm. like a not that, that that's a pretty nice heavy credit for your resume, right?
Yes, it is.
If people knew it.
Yes.
So the thing is, I had to even work harder, because you know what? I just thank God Almighty that I didn't stop. Because I could have been bitter like some artists. I could have been one of those people, like the sad sack. Oh, I remember back in the day, I was teaching a moonwalking guy, and I didn't get credit. So, and, you know, I missed my 15 minutes, so I'm going to get a harmonica. And it goes something like this. I roll the throw. Backwater chicken eating. Oh, I was wrong. No, that's... It's like a blues singing Schmulek who had his 15 minutes of fame lost, right?
Woe was me time, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mr. Woe is me.
Yeah,
I'm just glad. Huh?
I was going to ask you about that, because, I know I had read stuff that you, Michael Jackson was your student. And I didn't know this. You know, not until I read about it years later. And now that you look at his dancing, you could see you in him.
The thing that broke my heart was my son, my only son.
Yes.
When I was on hard times trying to pay child support and trying to help him out when his mother left me for somebody that had more money. The thing is, one day he goes, he looked at me and he goes, "Dad, you work with Michael Jackson?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "But he didn't pay you, huh?" That freaking killed me, because when he said that, he knew if Michael paid me, he wouldn't have to worry about child support or anything, right?
Yes.
No. For my son to say that at the time, that's the thing that got me, because I was like, okay, you know what? This is really terrible. Obviously, look, this is where I'm going with this. If you're a family guy, whether your relationship works out or not or whatever, if you want to do the right thing, if you have the money, you're going to do the right thing, right? Yes. So, but if you don't have the resources, let's say you work for a major automobile company or major aircraft company. If you didn't get your bonus, or if you didn't get what you're entitled to, you're going to have to demote and sling pizza, which is not bad. But going from an aircraft or automotive salary union, yes, to doing something that's non-union, mm-hmm, of course, you're not really going to make your livelihood or your debt ratio the way you people assume you could have, right? Yes. So where I'm going with this is this. Everybody has their point of reassessing, how far have I come in my life? What have I done with my life? And even if you don't do it, people are going to assess you and go, you know what? Sorry to say this, but you are a schmuck. You are a loser. You're a one-hit wonder. Disco's over. There's nobody breakdancing. Boomboxes are now USB cords. We can get an MP3. You can't even get a job at the Guitar Center. You know, people are relentless. So yes. You know they are. Yes, but they are. At the end of the day, the artist that has faith, I mean, you can have faith the size of a mustard grain. The last time I read, you know, in the Hebrew or Greek scriptures, and God will bless it. And he said, if you have faith the size of a mustard grain, you can tell a mountain to move and it'll move. So without faith, nothing is possible. And I tell you, I did a lot of soul searching, like a lot of other people. And that's what brought me to this place where I'm at now. Even the late Shabadoo, you know, his life with people seeing him in the movies, you know, he was a ladies' man. I mean, he bragged about it, that he was a box office Puerto Rican good-looking guy. And, you know, he lived the club scene. You know, he was on tour with Madonna. He was part of that whole, don't just stand there, you know, that whole revolution of club dancing people. So, of course, the party never stops with club kids. I mean, club kids are the most flamboyant on the planet. So, for me, I think that once I realized that he left all that and started learning the Hebrew and Greek scriptures, I mean, he started studying with the Jehovah's Witnesses and going to the you know, just to study his own Bible, I saw a difference. I saw a difference in his personality and in what his mission was. So for me, I realized very quickly, I want to be repentant. I want to do my part by sharing, whether it's a positive cleanup book for children of all races,
yes,
you know, and all nationalities, and let them know they're validated. If you see this McDonald's group of people, mm-hmm,
yes,
they're Korean and Japanese, a lot of different Asians. I didn't realize how important that was until certain things start happening on the media, you know, politically. And it's interesting because Turbo and those movies breaking, if you look at the difference from the other hip hop movies, we accepted everybody, Jewish, Hispanic, Black, Asian. We didn't judge anybody. And so I think that that's the blessing that that we have for it resonating with people. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, exactly.
Especially now, you know, I mean, obviously with this COVID and the way that the world is going, you know, even to be on your show, you know, I didn't want to take it lightly and assume that people know who I am today, because who I am today is not who I was in 84. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not the man in the mirror. Like, I mean, he had his fame. He had his, you know, I'm not living in his shadows trying to be something that I'm not. He was him. This was my former student. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, for me, dancers who pop, who do breakdancing, who do the robot, I'm hoping that with this new attention with the Olympics, that they'll all be able to feed their families, you know?
Exactly. Oh, yeah, yeah. I hear you.
Yeah, it's you like know. A pizza. Everybody gets a slice.
Exactly.
Michael, you also work with Nancy Reagan, right?
It's very interesting that you brought that up because, you know what? I've been trying to stay politically neutral just because there's so many people who are this way, that way, this way, you know, whether it's this president or that president or this. Okay. That was so long ago that I didn't want, this is the day of the information highway. You can say one thing or do one thing and now everybody jumps on you over one little thing. I don't take that credit lightly, but at the same time, I respect my neutrality because there's so many people who are Republican and Democrat and all this stuff. You know what? I don't even, believe it or not, I don't really floss his credit that much because other than his personal problems, what he had in the news, unfortunately, that's all the new generation remember him for.
Yeah.
Yes. They don't know. They're so still judgmental of the negative that they forgot how wonderful of a musician he was, a songwriter, you know. Performer. And so for me, excuse me?
Performer.
Performer. So for me, I think this world, because like Clint Eastwood's movie, A Perfect World, I think there's a lot of people who expect perfection and don't make amends if somebody falters or if you repentant or if you make a sinful mistake. So for me, I try my best to do what I can, but to be honest and not really ride the coattails of anything negative. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Totally. That's the only reason why, I mean, Nancy Reagan, Ronald Reagan, that administration, that was gone. And there's a lot of people who have a problem with Reaganomics. There's still people, there's a lot of people who had a problem with Reaganomics. I didn't have that problem. I just did a job that was my former employer, and I'll leave it at that. But here's the deal. We're living in 2023, going in 2024. The world's a dangerous place, huh? I mean, a lot of people are really pointing fingers at politics. And you know what? At the end of the day, the best thing I loved about that job with Mrs. Reagan, people forget that was an anti-drug job. Yeah. She did an anti-drug campaign called Stop the Madness. Mm-hmm. And the producers of the television show Cops, Malcolm Barber and John Langley, what will you do? What are you going to do? He's coming for you. What are you going to do? Let me tell you. If you're going and they say, put your hands up and you're done, what do you think the outcome will be? He'll come. He still comes. You can run, you can hide, but you can't re-escape. Then there's his dog. He's canine. It's ridiculous. Just give up what you're doing. Stop it. No, but the guy at 7-Eleven is telling you, I just think it's just is ridiculous. Why don't you give up? What are you doing? No, but look, it's idiot. It's ludicrous. It's stupid. No, but look. So when I did that, I'm like 17, 18 years old. I'm realizing John Matuszak, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. If you look at that video, Whitney Houston, New Edition, everybody, John Matuszak, there were a lot of celebrities. Arnold, everybody was in that video. And we were all masters in our own field and invited to do that video, that anti-drug video. And it's interesting because it accomplished what it needed to at the Entertainment Industries Council. They screened everybody who was in that video to be part of it, who were A-listers. Mm-hmm. And years later, I was like, wow, you know what? The world became a different place, you know? Okay. I mean, a very different place, a very political and very just the way that it is now. And for me, even when I worked with Michael, before all of his problems in the news, he's like, what are you going to say? What did you do? Who said it? Who said it? I see you. No, before all that stuff happened, I mean, when his name wasn't blemished, everybody was like, it was like Disneyland, you know, either you had Captain EO in Disneyland, but once everything just kind of hit the fan, no more Captain EO, no more MJ. When you said his name, he was Wacko Jacko.
Yes, he is. A moonwalking twit. Little bitty. He's Wacko Jacko. That's what they call it in Latin. Yes, it is. He's a vagabond. Get him out of here. Revoke's passport. Yeah. Take him out. He can't even get on the budget at the gallows. He's twat. It's never going to be like the Beatles. Paul. Paul. Ringo, tell him to back off, Boogaloo. Back off. Yeah. Get him out of here. Send him all back to the States across the pond. I don't want to see him anymore. Out.
That is true, though.
That's it's very true.
Yes.
No, so you, obviously, between that and the political thing, here we are. You know, I mean, obviously, I'm trying to be as neutral as possible. And you know, I believe in the God of Abraham, and, you know, I believe that we all have humanity connected, that we're just different shades of love, meaning because we're all just children on this one wonderful planet called Earth, you know, but you have Saturn, Pluto, and Orion, which the Bible says they're not inhabited. This is where Genesis and Revelations, you know, began. So until we know what God has planned, you know, I'm trying to be, you know, the united soul brother. Right, Ryan? Hey, what do you stand for? I'm a united soul brother, man. I can bust my carrier, Rocket Man, burning up his fuse up here. Mars ain't the kind of place to raise your kids. But they did it. They did have Martin the Martian eyes all, my nebulator.
Michael, hey. where did the Boogaloo Shrimp name come from?
Good question. I love it. You ready? Here we go. Now look.
Go back in time.
Let's go back to Ringo Starr across the pond. Look it. Ringo Starr had a song called "Back Off Boogaloo." Mm-hmm. James Brown had "Boogaloo Down Broadway." Celia Cruz had "Do the Boogaloo." So Boogaloo was a form of dance. Some of those 60s vinyls, there's people saying, do the boogaloo, do the funky boogaloo. It was a dance. It was a form of expression. So it was used in songs and in dance and in circa 60s, right? So by the time I got my name, my family was from Louisiana, Baton Rouge. And so they were French Creole, you know, you know what I mean? A lot of the French that came to Louisiana, born on the bayou, kind of Adam Sandler water boy. Hey, we're raging Cajun. You know, yeah, he was on the bayou. You know, a Forrest Gump, Bubba Gump, all kind of shrimp, Bubba, on the bayou, shrimp. My name's Forrest. No, the thing is, everybody on the bayou raging Cajun, you know, they were French. They speak Pacwa. They speak French. So the thing is, Boogaloo is part of French Creole jazz. If you listen to Zydeco Blues and the Boogaloo, there's some records that have that name. And so obviously my name has more roots in my culture. Okay. So when people were dancing in ciphers, like Soul Train was a cipher, remember? Soul Train, people would go down the Soul Train line, or the American Bass Dance, Dick Clark, they would go and dance and showcase.
Yes.
The thing is, people would chant, like, what are you going to do? I'm going to do the robot. Well, they would chant, Boogaloo Shrimp. My name was Shrimp. My nickname was Shrimp. But when people asked me, or they wanted to fish me out to get me to go out to the dance floor, when they asked me to do that, the thing is, they would go, Boogaloo Shrimp, and I'd be like, okay, you know, here I am. And I would go out to the dance floor and do my shtick, right? Well, my sister, she ended up hearing it so much that she got me a jacket that said Boogaloo Shrimp. Mm-hmm. And everywhere I danced and everywhere I went, my name resonated. Who was that guy? Boogaloo Shrimp, Boogaloo Shrimp. Later on, it even had more meaning because my family worked for Vandenkamp Seafood, Chicken of the Sea.
Okay.
So Charlie Tuna. Hey, Charlie. Sorry, Charlie. So the thing is, that was aqua, you know, kind of aqua oceanic by the waves, dude. So the thing was the wavage. So we were kids by the bay. You know, by the Los Angeles County Bay, not San Francisco. And growing up by the seaport, my name became more tailored with my style. So if you saw me doing waving or doing anything kind of liquid, I mirrored the ocean and a lot of the biology, the marine life, how eels and how they move. I was mirroring stuff that I would see. So it just became part of me.
Boogaloo shrimp. Interesting. Boogaloo shrimp. Good question. Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good question. I have a question too.
Yes, sir.
Poppin' Taco.
Yes, sir.
I read some stuff, you know, I read a lot about you and stuff, and I read a story, and I now that you're here, I want to ask if it's true. That did he come and pick you up and take you, I don't know if he took you to his home or he wanted to bring you to the dancing scene? And I heard a story about this.
I commend you. That's loosely the truth, but this is exactly what happened. You ready?
Okay.
So I'm where we live. I lived in a place called Wilmington, California.
Okay.
And if you look on a MapQuest, Wilmington is a neighboring city to Long Beach where he lived. And so there was a bridge, a Vincent Thomas Bridge that separated us, Wilmington and the Vincent Thomas Bridge. I can go down Anaheim and boom, I was there at his house. So the thing is, I was dancing, but usually when a student is trying to learn something, if you don't get to a master, you're only going to learn from a mediocre student. So I was always trying to get higher learning. So I tried to learn from people in my own city, but I knew that there had to be something more. It was like I was searching. I was on like my journey, like Dora the Explorer. I'm like, you know, okay. I wanted to go on a journey, right? Or Indiana, Andy, dun, 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 Dr. Jones. You know, Harrison Ford presents Turbo's back, and he's on a journey to look for the right beat and a boombox, the golden boombox. Hey! So the thing, no. So I'm on a journey to try to find other creative people. And this one guy said, look, there's a Mexican guy over there in the next city. If you could see him, maybe he'll help you with your studies. And sure enough, I went to a dance. They had a big thing, Uncle Jam's Army, where Egyptian Lover and all these great people were there. I think Dr. Dre was there too with the Wrecking Crew. Everybody was there. And so as a dancer, it was like a dancer's conclave. I was there and me and some friends were like, hey, that's that guy we heard about. We heard about his name on the streets, you know, Popping Taco. And sure enough, I happened to be wearing my jacket, Boogaloo Shrimp. Yeah. So at that time, there was a lot of street justice because there was a lot of people who were dancers that were not gang members, but they had gang members to protect them. So if you had a problem with one of their friends who was a dancer, they'd be like, can I call so-and-so who was a real gang member? And they were like your bodyguards on site, right? You needed to have, that's why I've always explained this to people who are like, why do you keep talking about the movie The Warriors? Not for the violence, but there were certain scenes in the movie The Warriors where the guy's like, can you dig it? And there's all these people from all over the city.
Yes.
Back in the day when I went to meet Poppin' Taco, there were all these poppers and breakdancers, and it just looked like, I mean, a lot of people, thousands of people. And through all those people, him and I made a connection. And it's interesting because I had my jacket, Boogaloo Shrimp. And he's a Mexican guy, and this is not racist, but at that time, right there in the late 70s, like 79, 80, it was unheard of to see one Mexican guy with like six black guys. It's like, what is that? And so it was unheard of. So he, you know, and they weren't gang members. It was like, why are they walking? How come they're at peace? So everybody was fighting. So we're like scratching our head, well, what does this guy do? And sure enough, man, oh my God. When they put the music on, everybody, it was like 90% black. The whole event was like 90% black. When this guy came out on the dance floor, people's jaws dropped. They had never, he was like Bruce Lee of dance. Nobody had ever seen those techniques, how he mixed Soul Train dancing, the robot, all this stuff. People were like, what is this? And when he came out and he danced, they were like, whoa, he was way ahead of his time. I'm sitting there like a little kid in the candy store, like remember Charlie from Willy Wonka?
Yes.
You know, I was like, Charlie, I was like, you know, I got a golden ticket. Come on. I was like, wow. I was like, I found my golden ticket. Taco, I like him. He's cool. So I was starry-eyed going, wow, man, this is the greatest dancer on the planet Earth, and I'm here. So he's seen that I was a young, moldable respectful, kind of like, he looked at me like a brother he didn't have. Because none of his family danced the way I danced, but yet here I am looking for knowledge. So I was like his little Negro intern. I thought somebody was going to be, well, the world don't move to a different white refugee. I was Willis. Everybody's got a special.
Different strokes.
Hey. So well, I'm finding myself in his garage with other people that his dad and mom allowed. And we're doing a jam session, almost like you go to a gym or you go to a disco. I mean, this was our session of training. I mean, we trained all day till our bones ached and we didn't have Epsom salt. We would dance until we were blue. Nobody said stop. There was no stop button. We were addicted to dance. I mean, that's unheard of. People are like, why are you so happy? What are you guys on? You know, what do you got? Yeah. It's called a natural high. Try it. It's like high cardio, schmuck. No, but it's because we're where we were from in the LA area, you know, and we were jovial and happy. They probably thought that we were on some good stuff, right? But you know what? With dance and wholesome activity, we were always on a positive vibe. So for me, when I got with Taco, he realized there was something more that I didn't know even about myself. He saw more in me than I seen about myself. So when that story came out about him picking me up, he would pick me up because instead of me walking or maybe catching a beating from somebody who didn't know where I was going as I was walking into a different territory, he would safely ask my mom and dad, can I bring him to my house? And my mom and dad would give consent like a guardian and allow him to pick me up in his car, bring me to the studio, and bring me back home. And they both know, my mother and father were very, very safe with it. While they were doing that, they allowed me to flourish as an artist. It made sense, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But here's the golden thing. As the practice sessions were happening, if anybody remembers, there was no Motorola flip phones or beepers or whatever. This is when you had the green GTE rotary phone that was mounted on the landline. Yes. And there was really no answering service back then. So actually, if a phone rang, it was for everybody in the house, right? So, yeah. Unless you had another line, which your mom and dad had the other line so they could hear who you're talking to. So, yeah. Hey, get off the phone. It's my daughter or my kid. Hey, schmuck. You know, so the thing is, schmuck. So the thing is, we're dancing, and one day somebody called and said, hey, look, are you guys available for a TV commercial? And I looked at Bruno's face. I'm like, what? He goes, dude, I think this is a job. I go, is it legal? He goes, well, you know, I mean, come on now. This is real talk. If somebody offered you a job, you have to ask if it's legal, because you could be like a courier or some mule or some in some sort of holding tank with this guy going, is it safe? Marathon man, is it safe? That is it. Let's go. What are you doing? Is it safe? And you're like, no. The marathon man.
Exactly.
So that, or it could have been Serpico. Hey, are you a schmuck? Everybody, let me see your hands. So the thing is, I was like, is this legal? Because I do not want to catch a beating or go to jail. So the guys like, yeah. So sure enough, it turned out to be a CBS commercial. Oh. CBS was putting on a wild spot. Hold on.
Uh-oh. Eddie, what's he doing now, Eddie?
He's going to go get...
I don't know. Ready? Uh-oh. I have my CBS hat. We've got the touch. Instant plug, CBS.
A plug for CBS.
Mm-hmm. You got to do it. It's all theater. So anyhow, exactly. Look, it is. But look, so obviously CBS gave me my break. And that's for the record. My first big job was a wild spot for Channel 2. And it's interesting because they ran that commercial over and over for their new season, and it's on YouTube. We've got the touch, CBS. We've got the touch. If you go back, look at CBS. We've got the touch, and you'll see me and Bruno dancing for a very short amount of time within that commercial in a park in Simi Valley, California.
Oh, wow. And
that's when I joined the Screen Actors Guild. My Screen Actors Guild at the time, you know, before things started happening, said I've been a member since 1983. That was before they had the Screen Actors Guild and after a merger. So yes. Every time I look at my Screen Actors Guild card, I remember that I made the choice to not do it for bragging rights, but as an educator, I went from the streets to the stage. I mean, come on now. If you're a union performer, you got union skill and double time, all the benefits of being a really serious professional, right?
Yes.
So my Screen Actors Guild said member since 1983. So you know what? Thank CBS, and I thank the legacy of Bruno, because we were these kids in the neighborhood trying to make careers for ourselves. And it wasn't bragging rights on Facebook or some Instagram, TikTok. You don't make money unless you're selling a product. But this new generation, they might get 3,000, 2,000, or a million views. But if they're not making hard money to pay their bills with that, what merit is it, right? Exactly. So for us, when we joined the union, to actually have a resume with certain credits, like what we were saying, especially with this guy, you know, if he had his credit and Lionel's credit, Lionel Richie, remember, him and Lionel Richie wrote, "There comes a time when we heed it, cool. We are the world,
yes.
We are the children, running down and out, and it's ain't no hope at all, Tito." The thing is, no, that was like really big. It was at Ground Zero, right? When they did We Are the World, they had the greatest artists at that time on that lineup, man. If you look, you had Steve Perry, Kim Carnes, Cyndi Lauper, Daryl Hall, John Oates, you know, everybody, Kenny Loggins, I mean, Bruce Spring, the boss, yes. We Are the World. So for me, I was working with Lionel Richie on a 9-month world tour while he was writing the song with this guy. So here I am, look at, I'm teaching this guy dance. I'm working as a dancer principal for Lionel, who doesn't dance. And then they do We Are the World, and they exposed me to all this music. So I became a musician, a producer, kind of like a jack of all trades.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Wow.
So many jacks, I should have a commercial for Jack in the Box. Yeah, a little turbo pop-up. There he is.
That must have been an adventure right there, to be dancing with Michael Jackson, your student, and then with Lionel Richie.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna do you and your show a solid. You ready? Well, yes. After I say this, when you get a chance, go on YouTube and look at Lionel Richie AMAs, American Music Awards, Moonwalk, and it will show Lionel Richie on stage saying to the audience, "Wait a minute, I taught Michael Jackson the moonwalk." Michael Jackson's in the audience with Brooke Shields and Webster. Remember, he has the Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club. He has a Sergeant Pepper jacket, right? He's getting an award for Billie Jean. But before that happens, I'm dancing in front of him and everybody in that room with Lionel Richie for all night long. So I could say whatever, but it's on video. You'll see me on stage at the Shrine Auditorium dancing with Lionel, who wrote We Are the World. Everybody who knows that story knows Quincy Jones and Lionel decided to get everybody in the room in the studio right after the awards because they were in town. And he said, "Leave your ego at the door." So you had all these artists who were at the music awards coming in to record the song. I was ground zero right there. That's crazy, right? That's freaking phenomenal. I felt like a Black Forrest Gump. Mama said life's like a box of chocolate. You never know what you're gonna get. There's some guy named Lionel, moonwalking guy, Kenny Rogers, he's a gambler, and Sheena Easton and all these people and fancy cars and stuff. Mama, I'm coming home. Can you imagine?
A good idea, though, to have everybody in the everybody's there. What a better idea to get them.
The video's on YouTube. Look at the American Music Awards when Michael Jackson, the American Music Awards, Lionel Richie, AMAs, and the video of what we're saying, you could see, man, Lionel says, I mean, we got Kenny Rogers, everybody at that time, legends, was in that room. But the connecting the dots with me and this guy.
Okay.
The mysterious one. I mean, he's right there in the front row and he's smiling as I'm dancing with Lionel. I mean, that's ground zero, right? The rest is history because that was the start of our journey, right?
Yeah.
I have to admit, before he had all his personal problems and, you know, in the media and in the courts and all that stuff, this guy, when the last thing that we worked on was, he wrote the song for The Simpsons. The Simpsons.
Lisa, hey, Bart. Marge.
You know, so the thing is, he wrote the song Do the Bart Man for The Simpsons.
Okay.
So he heard about my work with Paula Abdul. So I played the cat in opposite to track with Paula. Mm-hmm. And Michael's like, hey, you know what? I would like for you to work on this new, the choreography for this new song. So here's the credit. Wait, where is it? It's, do you see that credit?
Mm-hmm.
It's in the book.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Jackson. So Do the Bart Man was his song that he did for The Simpsons Sing the Blues, but he wanted me to choreograph it. So when I was invited to Neverland, that was a different session, because now this guy, all the 80s he used practicing and mastering his popping technique, he got it unlocked. But for the Bart Simpson choreography, he wanted me to kind of do something really cool for Bart. So there's a thing, if anybody knows about popping, there's a thing called the King Tut where we do like our hands. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like, I mean, Egyptian lover, I mean, like, yeah, I had to do something very cool. Michael's like, you got to remember, Bart is he's a middle-class kid in a suburban neighborhood. You know, he's kind of a brat, but he wouldn't do something too ghetto. So I was like, So he didn't want me to do something that Bart's fans wouldn't agree with, because he was not ghetto. So I was like, okay, you know what? So I saw the movie Grease when they did hand jive. John Travolta. It's all theater. Pay my pictures. Presents Grease is the word. Sandy, Danny Zuko, hey! So when they did the hand jive, that was a big dance back then, right? Yeah. So I kind of mixed kind of like a hand jive kind of thing with the King Tut, and it shows. If you see the Bart, do the Bart Man, everybody, mm-hmm. began to, it's kind of like the hand jive and kind of like corny, right? Okay. Biggest thing was I got a chance to work with MJ after all these years and get the credit. That's the biggest thing. If you look at The Simpsons Sing the Blues, yes. I've got the credit for the choreography.
Your name?
Having the credit of the choreography put the icing on the mystery of who taught him. Choreographers teach people. Mm-hmm. I've been saying that I've been teaching him, but then I didn't have to say it, because now Michael gave me a credit, not being a performer, that I was the choreographer, which means I had the background putting it together. So he was creatively trying to let everybody know, for the record, he is the man. He's the one. Yeah, he is.
So that had to make you feel pretty good that he did that, right?
You know what? Of course it did, because drop the mic. Then I didn't have any. That was in 1991. So when I seen that credit, I didn't have to bicker or even go on any interviews and say, I was the guy that taught Michael and I did. You know, there's so many people who are whining, you know. I mean, obviously, I'm not putting those people down, because if you're trying to feed your family and trying to live a certain lifestyle, people go to Pepperdine or Stafford or, you know, Church of Fire. Dun, 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 dun. Mom, I graduated. You get a degree to have a lifestyle. My degree, an art degree as artist, if you have a hit record, if you have a hit film, it better help you with your lifestyle, right? The thing is, having worked with this guy, with all the stuff that he did, it's like he was like a freaking, I mean, there was a time, you mentioned his name, everybody knew, okay, that's a lifestyle. I mean, his money was like, it just seemed like it was infinite, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he pretty much, his credit at the time raised the bar for all his staff and everybody. When they flossed his credit, they were living good, right? But to not have none of that, of course, I was like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to be a schmuck. I'm not going to be complaining. I know that I'm right. May God and people with good conscience do the right thing and let this, kind of like Sally Struthers. Remember the infomercial? Do you have it in your heart to help a kid, a starving artist? Mm-hmm. Please reach out, donate and do the right thing. Because there's breakdancers in need. He needs you. Donate now. do a GoFundMe, a Kickstarter, something. He's already losing his hair. He left his hair. He left his hair in San Francisco.
Oh, man. Like, what was Neverland like? What was Neverland like?
Okay, this was amazing. You ready?
You went to Neverland?
I have to say this for his fans and all the mystery that was denied people. Mm-hmm. This is for the fans. You ready? So Michael goes, "You're going to come to my ranch, but please don't tell anybody and give the address." I go, "My lips are sealed." I went Belinda Carla, "Our lips are sealed." I went Belinda Carla, "Our lips are sealed, zip it." I ain't saying nothing. You ain't getting nothing out of me. So the thing is, we're over here driving on the freeway. I see Oxnard, I see Solvang or whatever. I was like, okay, you know what? Then we see Santa Barbara and Santa Ynez. As we're driving up, those nice gates. As the security guard cleared our car, made sure we didn't have any cameras or anything that could harm Mr. Jackson, we signed the waiver. Now we're in on the property. As we're on the property, it looked like Disneyland. If anybody knows anything about Disneyland, usually when you go into the park, there's greeters and there's people ready to greet you. So Michael had a bunch of people that were ready to take our bags and greet us and show us where we need to be. Show us to our quarters. Mm-hmm. So as we're going to the guest house, I'm looking at this beautiful mansion. I mean, my God, he had a Victorian gigantic mansion, right? Mm-hmm. It's very separate than the guest house. So, I mean, he could see you coming. If you're not supposed to be there, security would stop you. So we're in the guest house and I'm trying to put my stuff up. Almost like when you take a vacation and you put your stuff in house. Housekeeping, don't come in now. You know, you put your stuff up. Now, all of a sudden, the phone rings. And I'm like, oh, snap. I pick it up. It's him. He's all, "Are you ready?" I'm like, "For what?" He goes, I want to show you. I want to take you on a little tour. I go, okay, I could be ready. So then he goes, "Come to the house." I'm like, all right. So we go to his house, and he was a prankster. He loved playing jokes. The door just opened. He had it rigged. He knew we were coming, and the door just opened. I'm like, dang, it was like a fun house, right? I'm like, okay. So we walk in, and there's a really weird-looking butler. "Good evening. Good afternoon." Okay. "Entrez-vous." So as we're going, you can hear him in the speaker. Keep going. I'm in the back. Back where? Keep going. So you could hear him. Like, keep going. And he led us to the back of the mansion. And the back of the mansion went to the grounds of the Neverland, right? So he's in the back. And right, it looked like there was like a laundromat or something right there. And sure enough, as we're waiting to find him, he pops up. Gotcha! I'm like, all right. So then we're like, whoa. So he's there with his nice red shirt. He had the same outfit that he had on in the video, "Liberian girl, you keen and you cheap." Remember, he has that red shirt with the tie, and he's acting like he's directing his own video.
Yes,
he had the same outfit on, you know, with his hat, because I guess his hat covered the sun so that he didn't get a skin rash. So he had his hat on, he had his red shirt and his little tie, and he's ready to show us around, right? So as we're coming out of the back door, first thing I noticed, he had these really awesome golf cars. He had like modified golf cars for people to be able to go on his ground because he had a valley. So to take a tour, it was almost like going to the San Diego Zoo or LA Zoo. You had to really take a tram or whatever to go around, right? I mean, to see everything. So Yeah. So I saw the golf cars, but the thing that got me, this is the big kahuna. As we're going outside, I look like these two little kids in the distance. I'm like, wait a minute. They had like jumpsuits on. I'm like, what is that? I mean, there was like a little makeshift playground, and I look like two little kids. And as we're getting closer, he had two chimpanzees loose. Oh, he had two chimpanzees loose with their trainer, and their trainer was holding them, but they were dressed like kids. So in the distance, I couldn't see because all we saw were outfits. They had like little overalls, all right? Mm-hmm. So as we're getting closer, the trainer turns to me and goes, "Hey, do not raise your hands. These are wild animals. They will bite you. don't even reach out to them. And if they stare you down, just stare at the ground like in submission. I did not argue because, no, they're very, I mean, wild animals, those chimpanzees will attack you, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could see the wild nature in their eyes because they're like, okay, go ahead. It looked like Caesar. Okay. Oh, that's a Caesar, right? No, no, no. So I'm like, what are you doing with Caesar? So the thing, so I'm like, oh no, it's different. It's different. No. I'm like, oh no, wait a minute. This is not a zoo. I'm in the enclosure. No, I literally, there was no fence. I'm like, oh no, it's happening. It's happening. I'm like, I'm literally in the enclosure. They're killing me, Larry. I'm like, whoa. We walked out and I got into the monkey enclosure. So now the fear, I could feel the fear because I was like, there's nothing that's going to prevent. There's no OSHA, no fire department. If I get bit, may God help me and people get me to the hospital because they're here, right? So both of the chimpanzees are tugging at me and they're grabbing me and I'm looking at them going, whoa, you can see their fangs, right? I'm like, wow. And then the trainer saw that we were afraid, so he kind of removed them from us. But usually when you go into their world, it's like they can dominate you because they're stronger than men, right? So right. With two of them, they could really beat you to a pulp, right? So, oh my God. So I was just like, one was Max and one was Alex. So my heart was beating, but at the same time, I was elated because that was a wonderful experience with nature, right? I was like, ah, I was going to sing the Circle of Life. And the Circle of Life, it'll be it, right? I'm in the enclosure. So yeah, that was amazing. And then we got a chance to see his giraffes and his movie theater and all of his toys. And he even had a lion. I mean, he had a full grown lion at that time.
Oh man!
And I was like, wow, man, this was This was a big step from him living in Encino with his mom. I'm like, wow, man, this guy's got, talk about going big. He had a whole valley, right? Yeah, this guy's like, he's over the top. Hey, it's like Sylvester Stallone's movie, Over the Top. He went, hey, guess what? This was the icing on the cake. You ready?
Okay.
As we're taking the tour, I see this man and this lady on a horse coming towards us. Guess who it was? Gregory Peck was on the premises taking a tour on a horse with his wife, and he stopped and he goes, hey, do you want to meet my friend? It was Gregory Peck.
Oh wow.
Gregory Peck stopped right there and he goes, okay, Michael, carry on. He's all distinguished, he's all distinguished. Well, carry on. And he's all, yeah, you know, he goes I have a session that I have to do. Gregory's like, carry on. Thank you, Michael. We'll rendezvous, you know, after you finish. Carry on. And I was like, that's the guy from the movie. The movie, remember, but there was a, not Orca, but remember the movie, I remember Gregory Peck.
Eddie, tell him the movie.
I can't remember.
I know what you're talking about.
The movie with the whale. He did the whale movie, and then didn't he do the Mice and Men or one of those great movies?
He
was like a lawyer?
Yes. What was that?
To Kill a Mockingbird, right?
To Kill a Mockingbird, yes.
Carry on. I was like, no, so of course I knew his distinguished voice. He's very distinguished. No, but that was Hollywood royalty on his premise. So I was like, I mean, he only rolled with like Elizabeth Taylor and the greats, right? But I got a chance to see him.
Wow.
No, Moby Dick. Moby Dick was the movie where Gregory Peck was still stabbing the whale, remember? If you look at the old movie, I remember seeing it on like Turner Classic Movies and then, of course, Kill a Mockingbird. And so as a kid on that premises, I knew this guy was somebody famous. And when I heard his voice, he told me, Michael's like, that's Gregory. I go, I know. Wow. I was like, "Why? I know. It's him. That blew my mind because not that long after that, he passed away. Can you imagine if I had a camera? Those would have been golden pictures, huh?
Yeah. Just riding on a horse, huh? Just riding on a horse out there.
No, but that's what he does. I mean, that's what he loved to do. It was all in the range. It wasn't Bonanza. Gregory Peck's here. But I mean, I was like, wow. No, that, you know what? That was an experience I'll never forget. I have to admit, I heard through the grapevine that Lady Gaga, Stephanie Germanotta, you know, in the shallow. I heard that Stephanie was going to buy Neverland and convert it into a museum so that the fans can see how Michael lived. I'm hoping that somebody will do this man dignity. And if it's not for him, do it for the fans, like Graceland. I mean, Graceland is still a tourist place where people could go to Memphis and see how Elvis lived. And Priscilla. But the thing is, Priscilla, where's the Colonel? The Sun Records. But Michael kind of had the same glory, if not more. And you know what? I really feel if that's made into a museum, people could kind of see how this guy lived, you know?
It was awesome, huh?
No, it was beyond awesome. He had a barn. He had a theater. I mean, in his barn, he had a barn for his giraffes. Mm-hmm. His giraffes had to have their own enclosure. So the barn was like kind of like an airport hangar. It was huge. You know, giraffes are not small. So he had three giraffes, Kareem, Abdul, and Jabbar.
Oh,
and
wow.
No, the baby was Jabbar. And one of the, you know, the mom and the dad were there. So I got a chance to meet him. And I tell you, man, that was intimidating because we walked in that barn. He goes, okay. He goes, don't reach out for them. He goes, they'll come. And we went up on this gigantic plank. It was like maybe 4 or 5 feet as we went up. And we're on this catwalk. And then the biggest one, I think it was the mom. The mom was kind of medium. She came and she was like looking curiously to see. Because usually, I guess they feed them. People could feed them from that plank and be safe. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, they acted like we had something to feed them because they came straight up to us and kind of nudged us. With...
Gosh, Eddie.
What's going on?
I don't know. We're losing him.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's see if he pops back on and give another plug for his book. I don't know what happened. Maybe he's doing the Michael Jackson dance. Michael, can you hear us? All right, Eddie, do you remember the book? We got to ask him how we can order it.
Little Boogaloo Shrimp?
He didn't say, did he?
No, he didn't.
Well, you know what we're going to do? We'll see if he pops back on. What he's probably going to do is call back.
Mm-hmm.
And if he does, we got to get that plug in before we get out of here. Oh, mm-hmm. There he goes. He'll probably call back right now.
Little Boogaloo Shrimp.
Little Boogaloo Shrimp. The Clean Sweep, I believe it's called. Mm-hmm. The Clean Sweep?
Yep.
Let me see. Let me pull it up. I have a picture. Yeah, Little Boogaloo Shrimp, Clean Sweep. He will sign the book for you when you order it. We need to find out, though. Hopefully he calls back so we could find out where you can order it.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine he has a website. Oh, boy. Well, what we're going to do is if he doesn't come back on, I'll give him a call and ask him, and then we'll put it up on the page or in the chat room here, and we'll post it on our social media too, on Instagram, Facebook, where else, on TikTok. And if you want to buy the book, he will sign it for you personally.
Mm-hmm.
So the book is called Little Boogaloo Shrimp Clean Sweep. And I'm going to get a hold of them because we lost them, and find out where you guys can order it, and he'll actually sign it for you.
Very entertaining guy.
Yes, very, very entertaining. All right. He should be working. I'm sure he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's very funny and what do you call it? Improbable. I don't know if that's a word, but just to go. You know, that's not an easy thing to do. Yeah, just start talking. And have a topic and go with it. It's people think it's he's actually calling me on the telephone.
Okay.
So let me I'm gonna actually answer it right here. See, I got his number. Hold on. Hello. Oh, let me take my headphones off. I just lost my headphone. Hey, Michael. Yes.
We wonder what happened.
Why don't you try to log back on so we can tell everybody where to buy your book. We didn't get to that part. So try to click. Okay. Oh. Oh, no, no. We're waiting for you. Okay, we'll wait for you. Okay, bye-bye. Okay, let me see here. I lost my headphones, Eddie. I lost everything. Okay, so what we're going to do, anybody that wants to buy the book, mm-hmm. Instead of buying it on a website, he wants people to buy it
from him.
Straight from him.
Okay.
So if he can log back on, we'll find out. You can actually buy it straight from him. Okay, I'm back. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So he's going to try to call back right now. And I was telling him, hey, if there's a website. And he's like, you know what? If people who want to buy my book, if they can buy it straight from me, that would be better. So mm-hmm. if he comes back on, he's going to tell everybody how they can get a hold of him directly.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty cool. What do you think? I think that's pretty cool. I got his number, Eddie. I got Turbo's phone number.
Mm-hmm.
I used to watch the guy on the movies. That's pretty cool. He's a good dude. He's a good dude.
I wonder how he thinks the Olympics will be judged.
Remember we had CeCe on the breakdancer mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. remember he did the remember he would come on in the outfit? Yeah, well he was being Poppin' Taco.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that Michael was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And remember he was telling us there was going to be breakdancing
in the Olympics. That's crazy.
Yeah. I wanted to ask him about, you remember there was a movie they were talking about that Michael might be in, that,
mm-hmm.
that they were all going to be involved, but I didn't want to bring it up because I don't know how that's going mm-hmm. with the writer's strike and all that. And you know, maybe I'll message him and later on and ask him, hey, you know, maybe if this does happen, because I guess they're remember CC came on, they were making a movie.
They were making a movie.
And he was going to be in it, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it's not a good time to talk about movies, I think, because of what's going on. So hopefully if he's involved, he can come back and promote that thing too.
Yeah, he can come back on and
promote
the movie.
But yes, the book, he wants you to buy straight from him. Mm-hmm. So if he's not able to log back in, I'll get a hold of him and ask him, you know, I don't know, maybe through Facebook or Instagram. Mm-hmm. I guess.
No middleman.
Yeah, no middleman. Straight through him. Helps him out more.
That's
what it's all about, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you can sell it yourself and want to take the time to sit down and sign books,
mm-hmm.
you should get most of the money.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
And I have somebody, like you said, take most of the money.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be able to make it back, but man, that was pretty cool. This is a very interesting guy. And I hope everybody got to learn something. I mean, Eddie had some good questions about Neverland Ranch, Michael mm-hmm. Jackson. Those are good questions. Some things I didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. I did want to talk that story about Poppin' Taco because I read something and I didn't know to the extent that he wanted to dance because I guess Poppin' Taco was a good dancer to him. Like he was one of the best. So I didn't know that. I just thought they just kind of knew each other by, you know, dancing in the streets, you know?
Dancing in the streets together.
Yeah, but I guess there was more to it and I'm glad he mm-hmm. explained it. Yep. And Michael is back. Not Michael Jackson, but Michael Boogaloo Shrimp. Let me see if we can... Oh, it's not connected yet. They need to connect their mic and camera before they can add them. Okay. Michael, if you could hear us, you're here, but you gotta connect your microphone and your headset before we can pull you up. Ay, ay, ay.
I was going to pull out a Paula Abdul doll.
Yeah. Yeah, Paula Abdul, she was a choreographer too, right? Or
she was
dancer.
A choreographer too. Mm-hmm.
And when you think about it, all these dancers, they did have their own little community.
Well, I guess so.
You don't think about it.
J-Lo was a dancer too before she...
Yeah. You don't think about those things. You just think about, you've seen them in a movie or you've seen them do this.
Color.
And that's it. But
she was a fly girl, right?
She was fly girl.
Girl,
I need to look up this Family Matters episode and the Bart dance.
The Bart dance, the robot.
What else did he tell us to look up? The American Music Awards?
Lionel Richie.
And anything else he told us to look up? Oh, the commercial. Did you write
CBS,
it down?
The CBS commercial?
Yeah, it had a name, though, they were running. You're good at writing everything down, Eddie.
I know. I
now I'm going to have to go back after the stream and go check it out.
We are the world? Oh, no, that wasn't it.
No, it was a... Remember when him and Pop and Taco got their first job?
Got the commercial.
It was a commercial. He said it was for Channel 2, yes. Hey, Charles, here we go. Charles is on watching. Charles, I threw your name out there in this Michael Boogaloo Shrimp interview. I hope we did you justice. Threw a little plug out for you. I didn't want to mention the movie too much because of the writer's strike, but I hope that thing is still in the works. If it is, I'm having everybody on when that movie comes out.
Right, Eddie? Charles is on, yep.
But yes, Charles is a friend of our show. Mm-hmm. A very good dancer himself. I like how he portrays Pop and Taco. That just, when I first saw it, it brought back memories. Mm-hmm. I was like, I got to get this guy on our show.
Uh-oh. I wonder if Michael ever met Janet.
Well, I'm sure he did. Okay, I think we got him. Let me see. Right. Wish us luck, because I see him right here. Let's see if we got him.
All right. There he is.
There's a little spin. Is that him dancing, or... Can you see that? Can you see that thing spinning? Just waiting for the director to give us the green light. So it's still in the works, Eddie.
Still in the works.
Yeah, I didn't want to ask him because I don't know, if it's okay to ask. Mm-hmm. Because I will say this. I had talked to Michael Boogaloo Shrimp in the past, and we had talked about this movie, off air. And he said, yeah, but, he didn't want to talk about it yet because he wanted to make sure everything was set first. So I said, okay, so if you come on, we won't mention it. And this was the last time he was supposed to come on that things didn't work out. So now I'm talking about it because I'm talking with a guest that's in the chat room. That's okay. Mm-hmm. That's okay, right?
Yeah,
it doesn't look like Michael's going to make it on. So he's just buffering. So what I'm going to have to... I'm sure he's going to call me in right now and tell me how everybody can buy his book straight from him. And I can only imagine it's got to be through email maybe, or... Because I'm not going to give his number out to everybody.
Facebook or something, yeah.
Facebook, Instagram, or email. But yeah, you know what? I think Christmas is coming, Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that'd be a nice book. If he signs it, that's pretty cool. He's taught Michael Jackson... He was Michael Jackson's student. No, I mean, Michael Jackson was his student. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you know how rough that could have been to be a student and all the dances that he put together? Mm-hmm. And nobody knew that he was the one when Michael Jackson's doing all those cool moves. And
go, the man behind Michael. The dance.
Yes.
The man behind the dance was Boogaloo Shrimp.
Now, I can see how that hurt, but... He did get his justice with, like he said, The Simpsons, where Michael gave him credit in the credits.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, here he is. So, okay, what I'm going to do is I got to take my headphones off. I'm going to, whatever he says, how to get a hold of him, okay? So, Eddie, talk, okay?
Okay. Well, yeah, very interesting.
Hello.
The Boogaloo Shrimp. Having trouble logging back in?
Yes. Yes.
I'm trying to find out how you can buy the book directly from Michael Chambers.
Yes. Hey, Michael, let me do this. Let me put you on speaker while you talk. That way, at least they can hear your voice. How's that? Okay, hold on. I'm going to put him on speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Michael at?
The book is Bill Boogaloo Shrimp.
Hey, Michael, can you hear me? Okay. Yeah, why don't you just tell me, or tell everybody what you just told me right now about the conventions and all that good stuff.
Yeah, basically, bringing it up to now, I mean, I'm really looking forward to joining other 80s and 90s television and film artists at conventions, Coldplay, 80s retro theme kind of events where I can have a merch table and sign autographs direct with the fans and actually tell some of these wonderful stories in person if we can. So, you know, if you could put the word out to people, that's exactly what I'm trying to be booked in, as well as if you want to order my book and have it personally signed or get it as a gift for somebody who maybe has a break dancer or a robot dancer or really loves that art in your family, you could send me a message via Instagram or Facebook on Boogaloo Shrimp. You find me, and I'll try to expedite that and get your signed copies out there. But yeah, also to bookstores, you know, if there's any places that will have me do a book signing, I'm also open for that. You know, I would love to do mini pit stop book signing tours and meet the people who know of the movies and who know about dancing being the Olympics in your city there, you know. So that being said, I guess the only other thing I would like to leave is I hope that my journey inspires other artists who don't just have one title. I mean, I became a dancer, choreographer, actor, comedian, songwriter, all these other different hats, and I just hope it my story inspires other artists to think outside the box. And kind of like the writer George Bernard Shaw, he said, if the circumstances aren't there, create them. So my message is to utilize your downtime or this COVID time or your quarantine time as artists to create and repackage yourself, to create your own jobs and a network with people to hopefully, you know, get a job, but try to work out your craft to come up with something very creative and get out there in the workplace.
Very cool. Michael, what we're going to do is we're going to plaster how to get a hold of you all over our social media and get your book out there the best we can. And it was a pleasure and an honor to have you on our show.
Thank you, Stephen. If you need me to, on an email, I can forward you some stuff, the direct link, so that nobody will, because there's a lot of bogus links out there, whatever. So I could do you a solid before you hashtag everything.
Yes.
I'll send you some stuff so that they know exactly who. Matter of fact, if you can add yourself on my Messenger or on my Facebook, then when I do go on there, if you go on Facebook Messenger, you add yourself, then that'll be in real time. I can actually give you the place where I can receive messages so that the people know where to get me, right?
Okay, cool. Okay. What I'll do is I will actually go on my personal Facebook, because I don't use that for only special people, and I'll message you on there. How's that?
Yeah, but what you just said right now, put a handicap sign right there to make me laugh. When you say that, you say I only use this for special people?
Yes.
Put my face on a handicap sign. Then play the song by Radiohead, because you're so very special.
There you go. I'm going to do it, too. I'll do it, too.
Oh, yeah, dude, I want to see my face on a handicap sign. I can do Gilbert Grape Part 2, Arnie's Revenge.
Oh, Lord. Oh, man, you are hilarious.
Dude, me and Leonardo, Arnie comes back, Arnie's Revenge. Arnie.
Oh, my gosh.
That's freaking funny, huh?
I got.
Funny, right?
We're gonna write the script right now.
Dude, can you imagine? I'll be better than Napoleon Dynamite, like Gilbert Grape too. Because Arnie needed to find some place, right? So he goes with disco twerk. He sees people twerking. He doesn't want to do that. He's like, "What's with this guy who sweeps a lot, right?" And then I'm in a Cadillac, sweeping ain't easy.
Oh my gosh. Hilarious.
Hilarious. So we have a turbo janitor service. Sweeping ain't easy. We clean brownstones. And it's a Jersey.
Oh my gosh.
We need a Rick. Molly D. And hey, we're in Jersey Shore. We need the cleaning. They're like, get it clean. Me and Ben Stewie. And clean up something, schmuck. Me and Arnie's cleaning crew.
You're gonna get that special message from me, don't you worry.
Yes, but I want to do that movie. That's a funny movie, right?
Exactly. Michael Boogaloo Shrimp. We're going to get this book out there. We're going to help on our end anyway, and I'm gonna get some from you myself too. So don't you worry.
Hey, man, dude, thanks a lot, dude. And you know what? Be safe with God's help and good people around you during these times, my brother. And thanks again, Mr. Ripper, huh?
Thank you, too. And you're always welcome on our show. Just give us a call if there's any way we can help.
Yeah, but these days, to pay my bills and me doing, you know, my household duties by being a provider, whatever legit job I could do, you know, as far as making appearances, speaking, and selling my merch, let me know, because obviously I belong out there selling my merchandise and telling these stories to the fans who appreciate it, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you have a lot of fans.
Well, I kind of, you know, like I said, I would like to see the demographic of what my fan base is, because obviously the conventions that I've been in have been they're non-hip-hop. They try to put me in a hip-hop convention, and you know, it's more than dance. I'm kind of like a new wave kind of Revenge of the Nerds kind of Keith Carradine kind of guy. I mean, literally that crowd of cosplay, those kind of people, that's where I sell my merch. But that's where I get even entertained, you know, just because I mean, I'm part of that 80s thing. I mean, the whole revolution from the East Coast part of, you know, like new wave, popping, locking, that whole thing, right?
Yes. I hear you.
Right, okay.
We got it. Let me know, my brother. We got you. Don't worry. We're going to keep in touch. And thank you so much again for coming on the show. It was awesome.
My dream is to be dancing somewhere in the Hamptons. They're like, what is he doing? He's cleaning up over here. He's in the bed stewie.
Hey, at least you're in the Hamptons, right?
Hey, it is what it is, right? That's a nice place over there.
All right, Michael.
You guys take care. You guys have a productive week. Thanks again, huh?
All right, you take care. We'll talk soon.
All right, my brother. Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, Eddie. Let me get my headphones back on.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do dual stuff right there, Eddie.
Very, very interesting guy.
Yes. Very. So, what we're going to do is we have to get... He's going to send the links to his Instagram and Facebook that are the real ones. And if all you want to order stuff, his book, get it straight from him.
Mm-hmm.
It's better for him. So that's a good thing. And if anybody's out there that does those conventions, like he says, and you want to get a hold of him, and we'll post up his links that he sends us later. We'll post them up. If not, message us. And we'll get a hold of him for you if you do those. What are these conventions where people go and set up tables and sign pictures and
like pop up shops?
Yeah, pop up shops. You want to have Michael Chambers, Boogaloo Shrimp there? He would love to do it. That's what he does, right? He like sell his merch. All right, Eddie, I want to thank you for coming on, because this was a special show, and I wish Alberto and Alyssa was here, but they couldn't make it. But I'm glad you were here with me to enjoy this experience.
It was a fun interview.
It was. The guy's very entertaining, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
Never a boring minute. Right?
Yeah.
If you started pulling out other dolls of everybody, if he pulls out dolls of us next time he comes on, oh boy, he probably builds them or carves them.
Yeah.
All right, well, Michael Boogaloo Shrimp Chambers. As soon as he sends me his official links on social media, that you can get a hold of him. Get a hold of him and buy his book straight from him. That's how he's going to make the money, so nobody else takes any of it from him.
Yep.
And he will actually sign it himself. So do it. The breakdancing community, or just the dancing community, he is a, what do you call it? He's a pioneer. He's
the pioneer, yeah.
Yeah, so go check out, if you haven't seen the movie Breaking from 1984, I believe 84. It's 84, go check it out. And I think the next one came out right away, I think 84, 85 or something like 85. That.
Breaking 2,
Electric Boogaloo. Go check him out, and check out Turbo. That's who we just had on the show, and he's a really good dancer. And it was a good show. I'm very happy we had him on. And we're going to get out of here, because we got to get going. Eddie, we got things to do too, right?
Yep. But this was impromptu.
Yes, it is. But we'll be back Thursday too on our regular show. Mm-hmm. See, M25 people, you got to get an extra show this week, so you're welcome. What is that?
Oh, someone outside.
Oh, okay. Well, we better get out of here, because somebody's here to pick Eddie up.
All right.
Hopefully it's not the police. All right, let me get our outro music, and we will get out of here, and we will see everybody Thursday. And stay tuned, because when I get those links from Michael, we will post it up so you can buy his book. And please buy his book. Mm-hmm. It looks like just not like it's a big book or anything, so everybody can afford it. So you'll also get his signature and all that good stuff. So help the guy out. He's a good dude. All right, Eddie.
All right.
We'll see you Thursday.
Yes, sir.
All right. Everybody take care. Be safe. And we'll see everybody Thursday.
Stupid reality again.